Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
On a Sunday, so this should be interesting. No fighting. we're doing a series called Becoming the One. For those of you that have been around for some time, you may have known that we have done events called The One that Shanique has been hosting that started off actually a few years ago as True Love Waits. It was called True Love Waits. We did something about five years ago called True Love Waits, five or six years. And out of that, those series or those sessions, I can say, it was about how many people got married from that. About seven people got married out of that within the 5 years. So within the 2 year span, actually, after the actual True Love Waits. So we realized, you know, we might be onto something. And we realized that during that time, however, the terminology True Love Waits kind of spoke more to the females than the brothers. And so I told us that we got to try to change the name so we get something more universal for everybody. All right. And so after much prayer and deliberation, we got inspired to call it The One. All right. And then we started doing these sessions again. However, that we're trying to build back up. And we realized around that time, Hungry for God was just a Bible study. At the same time, we weren't a church yet. And we were just reaching a lot of different crowd, a younger crowd, young adults, young people who were inspiring to be in relationships, loving, full committed relationships. But we realized that some people just needed the assistance, the wisdom, the counsel to be able to get there. Now, Shanique noticed that. I didn't care. I was all about God. I was all about Jesus. I just wanted to see people get saved and healed and delivered and set free. And Shanique said, you know, I think we need to start paying attention to these couples that are connecting and just kind of help shepherd them. Interestingly enough, as we were preparing to get ready for this session, Becoming the One, I was, you know, looking for an article, just looking for ways to just start this and to communicate clearly as to where we want to go. And I want to start off by talking about just an article that we stumbled across that literally just blew us away. For those of you that don't know, once again, Shanique and I have been married for going on 6 years by the grace of God. This year, June, is going to be our 6th year. And again, we have a bunch of people here who are either newlyweds. We have some of those who've been married for a longer time. But we really sense that God is breathing something on us to help speak into the need for, as a church and as a people. When I say as a people, I'm talking about as an African-American community, predominantly the need to talk about why we need to help restore the value of marriage in our communities. I was looking at an article posted back in 2011, and in this article by the Washington Post, it was stated that the proportion of adults who are married has plunged to record lows in our country. It went on to say, the marriage patterns are a striking departure from the middle of the 20th century, when the percentage of adults who never wedded was in the low single digits. In 1960, for example, 72% of all adults were married in America. The median age for brides was barely 20, and the grooms were just a couple of years older. The New York Times similarly reported married couples have dropped below half of all American households for the first time, the Census Bureau says, a milestone in the evolution of the American family. Married couples represented just 48% of American households in 2010, from 72 to 48. For anyone, let me get to this, in an urban context, bless you, in an urban context, it's worse. African-American women are the least likely in our society to marry. In the period between 1970 and 2001, one study showed that the overall marriage rate in the United States declined by 17%. But for blacks, it fell by 34%. Such statistics led Howard University relationship therapist Audrey Trattman to point out that African Americans are the most uncoupled people in the country. This gets deeper.
A lot deeper.
Sociologist Andrew Cherlin mourned and lamented with this statement, "I was stunned to learn, watch this, I was stunned to learn that a black child was more likely to grow up living with both parents during slavery days than he or she is today." That's crazy. They did another study, sixth graders in Washington, D.C., talked about how the young boys were saying how passionate they were about being great dads. And so they talked about, a teacher asked their students, she did a study called Marriages for White People, based off of what a sixth grader said. I was pleasantly surprised when the boys in my class stated that being a good father was a very important goal to them, more meaningful than making money or having a fancy title. She said, "That's wonderful," I told my class. "I think I'll invite some couples in to talk about being married and rearing children." "Oh no," one student objected. "We're not interested in that part about marriage, only about how to be good fathers." And that's when the other boy chimed in, speaking as if the words left a nasty taste in his mouth, "Marriage is for white people." Okay? So it's obvious in these stories and statistics that there is a dire need in our community to restore and value marriage, the sanctity of marriage. And what I've found over the last few years is that when we talk about love and relationships, everybody wants to talk about it. But if you start talking about marriage and commitment, people start losing interest. And if marriage is not the goal of your relationship, then what are you dating for? What's the goal? What are we aiming for, right? And marriage has lost its esteem. The Bible says in actually Romans chapter 12 that we should, Romans 13, I think, where it says that we should, marriage ought to be esteemed. Marriage is honorable. It's an honorable institution. And today, because people don't respect marriage, it's that much easier for you to step out of your marriage. It's that much more easier for you to flirt with married men or flirt with married women. It's that much more easier to disrespect a marriage because we don't reverence the institution of the marriage, right? So as a community, it's harder for us, and if we have this mentality, and Romans 12 said, "Don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of our minds." God established and ordained marriage for the foundation of family. Before there was a church, before there was a university, there was a marriage. One man, one woman. So we have to restore this, because before we go and before we talk about love and talk about all this stuff, we got to talk about what's the goal, right? The goal is so that two people, it's a spirit of this age.
It's so funny that you, sorry to cut you off, baby, yeah. But it's so funny that you would say that, because even as you were talking, which is something that I thought about for a while, it's like the enemy wants to pervert marriage. Yeah. Like if you look and we, just look in today's society where homosexual marriages are acceptable. Like it's not even abnormal, like it's the normal thing now. You go to pick up your children from school, you may bump into two dads, you may bump into two moms, and it's normal. And even like I think maybe 2 years ago, maybe a year or two years ago, I remember just meditating and praying about this, and God told me that that the world is perverting marriages, and what he wants to do in the last days is there's gonna be an influx, like there's gonna be so many people getting married so that the world can see God's real intent for marriage, and that it's not two men, that it's not two women, that it's one man and one wife. So when you said that about two men, I thought about that.
So we understand that. I hope you understand. God is the one who designed marriage. He ordained it, and anything God ordained, he ordained it for our good. Okay. Everything he does it for our good. So we got to come back to that place and say marriage is good. Can we
marriage
say that together?
Marriage is good.
Good. Say
it's
one
not
more time.
Easy.
Marriage
is
good.
Good.
Okay. Let's get that into our psyche.
It's good.
Tie these ratchet shows on
horrible
TV. All right, so let's get to this. First week, our teaching objective. Babe, you want
to
read it?
Yeah, so just to give you guys a little focus for what we're doing, what we're going to be doing for the next couple of weeks. So the focus of this series is one, to help you learn how to become the one for the one. Two, expose and shatter the lies and myths that hold you back from staying in love.
Staying
in love, so married people, staying in love. And three, to reveal biblical principles that will help you become ready for love and marriage. Four, to give you a vision of love that will help you to set the boundaries necessary for a healthy love life. Boundaries.
Yeah.
Boundaries.
All right.
Healthy love life.
That's right.
Right?
All right, good. So let's get to the word that we want to just bounce off of you guys. We're going to be on this chapter
for the next
few weeks. So Matthew 25, can you guys share with us real quick?
Yep.
Matthew chapter 25, verses 1. I'm going to read the whole thing, but stop somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. This is a parable, one of the many parables that Jesus shared, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins.
Yes, the five wise and the five foolish.
Okay.
So, so at the time...
Wait, let's make you guys got it. Yes. All right.
Okay, so I'm reading the New Living Translation. So then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Okay. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish took no oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all lay down and slept. At midnight, they were aroused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and welcome him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Sir, open the door for us." But he called back, "Don't know you.
I don't know you.
So stay awake and be prepared, because you do not know the day or the hour of my return."
Catch your neighbor and say, "You don't know when love is knocking at your door." Now, this is a parable talking about heaven, but Shanique got this awesome revelation about how this connects to love and relationships. Alright, so.
Okay, so I'm gonna start off with, I guess that's verse one. So the five foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." So this reminds me of a person who isn't necessarily right for you. So what do I mean by that? Meaning like, you've been praying, you've been seeking for the one, you've been doing kind of everything that you need to do to prepare yourself. And then here comes along someone that, I guess they're attracted to your physical, but they're not in the same space necessarily that you're in. They haven't been praying, they haven't been seeking God, they have no direction, but they're just attracted to you. So they want to reap the benefits of your hard labor, right? Of your prayers, of your seeking after God, of your hard work naturally. And then they come and they're like, you know, maybe we can kind of go out, hang out. So it kind of reminds me of the five foolish and the five wise. The five wise, they sought after the Lord. They prepared themselves. They got their oil, and they were waiting. And the foolish, they got so caught up with the idea of the coming that they failed to prepare themselves. So some of us get so caught up with this idea of being married. It looks nice. You see couples, you see people married, you see these big elaborate weddings, and you see that and it looks so nice. It glitters. But you fail to prepare yourself. There's so much more than the actual day. What are you going to do? How have you prepared yourself for the long run? And I find, like, especially in our generation, that we want to be married. We desire to be married. We have a heart to be married. We don't want to live in sin. We kind of know the right way to go. You know, you look at two incomes nowadays, you're like, we put our pennies together. We can be middle class. This kind of works for us. But on a serious note, what have you done to prepare yourself? So we're all looking for the one. I'm gonna speak a little bit from a female perspective. So I'm okay. So from a female perspective, what happened? So from a female perspective, I've always had a problem with women that say like things like, yeah, you know, he has to have a car, he has to have a house, he has to have this, he has to have that, no kids. We have like this whole long list of things. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have standards. I'm not saying that. But where are you in your life?
Yes.
What have you accomplished? How have you prepared yourself? So it's easy for us. I'm serious. No, I'm really serious. I'm passionate about this because it's easy for us to say, you know, what we want and what we expect. But if he was to come today, are you ready?
Come on.
Have you prepared yourself? Have you prepared your heart? Yeah. All that baggage. Baggage is what breaks up marriages, what breaks up relationships. If you come into a marriage with a lot of baggage, it's very, you're going to need the infilling of the Holy Spirit at all times. Because, it is very, very difficult. And when I say baggage, I mean like baggage from past relationships. Things that we're holding on. Baggage, maybe our fathers weren't there. All of these things, these are all layers. And they all affect how we enter into a marriage. They affect our expectations. One of the things that I'll never forget is when I got married to Vernell, I didn't necessarily grow up with my father. And I've always been very, very independent. But and then I also looked at kind of like my grandparents' marriage, who, they lasted until my grandmother died. They weren't happy. That's another thing. And I'm not saying to stay, I don't want anybody to stay in a marriage when you're not happy. But there's something about being able to endure. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? There's something about being able to endure the storm and endure seasons. Sometimes, if it's not working, you gotta let it go, right? But we wanna avoid that, right? So we wanna avoid divorce. And we avoid those things by being prepared, by being mentally prepared, by being financially prepared, by being spiritually prepared. Yeah. So getting back to my thought, I'll never forget, I kind of had these weird expectations for Vernell. And it wasn't until, and he didn't even realize what they were. And it wasn't until we really, I didn't know what they were. No, I did. And it wasn't until we really sat down and we talked about what my expectations were as a wife, as his wife, and what his expectations were for me as his wife, and what he would do as my husband. And there was like a little bit of friction that first year because we were just trying to figure it out. Preparation. If we would have truly prepared, I mean, like, I'm not even gonna front. We had counseling and it wasn't the best, right? But there was something about endurance. There was something about, I knew I loved my husband. I knew that we were gonna be together. And I know that it was because of the preparation prior to getting married. I know that it was the fact that I laid on my face. I know that it was the fact that I prayed and I asked God before we even got married, is he the one? Is this the man that you would have me to be with? And just knowing, like, getting rid of a lot of baggage and a lot of hurt and all of those things. Even when we came to a point where things were kind of rough that first year, we were able to get over it. And why? It was because of preparation before, not necessarily the counseling that we received, but my own personal preparation. Right. So I think,
just to add to that, your preparation allowed you to get to a place where you were able to decide, I'm not going to leave this marriage. You know, a lot of times what I've found recently is that people get married. See, think about us, women dream about the day.
The day.
You dream about the big day. Men dream about the woman.
On the big day.
Of the day.
The big night.
What men are thinking about, right? Like, how many stories have you heard of? How many stories have you heard of women got the whole day and then the night they go to sleep? You ever heard that?
That was
me. We both tired that day. We
that
both fell asleep.
Yeah,
the crazy part is, women dream about that day. Men don't dream about their wedding day. What man dreams about their wedding day? All right?
But actually dream about my wedding day.
I mean, you can plan out what you want, but no guy's sitting there. Men are thinking about the woman of their dreams. Right? And so the Bible says, he that findeth a wife finds a good thing. That's so important when it comes to understanding the whole thought behind being a wise or foolish. Because he that wins souls is wise.
Yep.
So when we talk about love, we're winning somebody's soul. So love is wise. It requires wisdom. It requires an intentionality, not this foolishness we call falling in love with somebody and expect to, if you fall in love, then you've got to know how to stay in love as well. So it's a wisdom that's necessary, and that's waking up, sobering up, right? Not being drunk in love, but being sober in love and knowing what you're doing each step of the way. You got to be prepared, and that's what we're emphasizing. Because if a man finds a wife, they didn't say he's going to find a woman who's going to make a wife. When a man finds you, ladies, he needs to see a wife. You're already a wife.
Meaning you've already prepared yourself
for that next level.
Again, I'm going to say it again. A man that findeth a wife means you've already done the preparation. So when he comes to you, you're already ready to be married because you've prepared yourself. And going back to the five wise and the five foolish.
Talked about when he delayed, right? Even when the bridegroom delayed to come.
Go ahead.
What is that? Look at that. Verse 5. All right, so verse 4 said, but the wise took oil in their vessels. So that oil that they took in their vessels represents what they prepared. Even that terminology oil, all right, is so important because when the Bible refers to oil, even today, oil talks about what? Wealth, value, something valuable, right? Something that's precious. Today, people fight over oil, go to war for oil, right?
Yeah. They prepared, they valued themselves enough to prepare and get the oil. How much do you value yourself? Right? Have you prepared? If they didn't have oil, there would be no value. So the five foolish, there was no value because they had no oil.
Nothing to offer.
So the value is in the preparation. Right?
Yeah. I don't know if did that fly over somebody's head?
Should I?
Huh? You guys got that?
Did you get that?
Something of value that you are contributing, right? I see a lot of, I'm a man, so I'm gonna talk from this perspective. I see a lot of females today who believe that just by looking good, that's enough to keep a man.
And it's not.
Let me tell you something.
It's not.
A wife needs to have a lot more to offer
than just looks. Looks fade.
You know, and a man is attracted by looks. A man is attracted by looks, right? But at the same time, those looks change. So it has to be more than that. So you might grab our attention with your looks. But then after that, what is it that's going to keep us, right? The level of conversation, the ability to relate to where our vision and what we're called to do as men to be the visionaries and the leaders of our life, of your life and our lives. Men got a big responsibility, right? Because God calls us to be the head,
yep.
Right? We got to be the ones to lead, to cover, to protect, to intercede, right? To be the ones that you will be willing to submit to. That's a lot of responsibility. Because in order for you to submit, that means we got to be on point.
And I was going to say, and men, you got to step correct. If you really want a woman of substance and a Proverbs 31, a real Proverbs 31, you've got to come correct. Like, I'm serious. Meaning, like, you've got to have yourself together. You have to prepare as well. Men have to prepare as well.
Yeah.
It's not just women. And when I say prepare, meaning, like, as Vernell just said, the Bible says that the man is the head. So are you prepared mentally, spiritually, financially, to be the head?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah, because God looks at us, he holds us accountable to the state of our relationships. I remember one point she and I was having a hard time, and I was blaming God just like Adam did. I was blaming God. Like, God, you sent her to me. I was good. Me and you were good. What's going on now? And I was blaming God for what I thought was her problem, but God just responded back
nope.
to me. That's your wife. You chose her. Right? Because this thing is, we're saying the one, but let's break that myth, right? There's the idea, the New Age thought that there's just one person for everybody. That's not what we're saying. There is no one person, because some of you feel like I missed that one, and that's it, my life is over. No, no, no. The one is
Your choice.
Whoever you choose to make the one is the
that
one.
That is the one. And before before you can look for the one, and you guys have been hearing this a lot, before you can look for the one, you've got to be the one.
Yeah. Because that's how you know what you're looking for.
That's how you know what you're looking for. You, like, you can't, it doesn't make sense to try to look for something that you're not. Like, It doesn't make sense.
Absolutely.
Because it goes back again to, like, that wish list. Like, I want him to be doing this. I want him to be doing that. I want him to be doing this. A man of valor and a man of substance, if you're not about your business and your father's business, he's going to pay you no mind. Absolutely no mind. So even going back to what Vernell said, the physical may be there. You may look cute. May have a nice body, but a man of substance is gonna look and say, nice, and turn away. He's not gonna make you his wife. He's not. He's not gonna make you his wife. You're not wife material. It's facts. So,
for that person.
But you have to prepare yourself. Because it's not to say that you can't be the one, but it's through preparation.
Yeah. Biggest thing is we got so much to say, but we don't have that much time to say it. So let's go back to real fast.
Yes.
So we were starting with verse 5. So verse 4, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, all right? But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered
and slept.
And slept.
They were waiting.
All right, and this is what happens with many of us. Now, if you're in that place where it's like, well, I feel like I'm ready. I feel like I got enough oil. I feel like I got something to offer and you're ready. The Bible talks about how both of these categories, the wise and the foolish virgins, they both thought they were ready. However, the wise, it seemed like the wise over-prepared. And this is a kingdom principle that Jesus is really trying to teach us. Preparation was what actually led them or set them up to be ready for them to enter into the kingdom or to enter into the reality that God had in store for them. Likewise, when it comes to being in this thing called love, this thing called marriage, your preparation is the key. The Bible says, above all things, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life, right? Above all things, pay attention to yourself, not what other people are doing, but pay attention to your own heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. If it's an issue for you to stay in a committed relationship, then it's not an issue with anybody else but yourself. Guard your heart. Observe your own heart. It's not everybody else. It's you. Right? You're the common denominator in every problem that you enter into. So, the Bible says, pay attention to your own self. If you don't like what's going on in your life, the issue is going on inside of your own heart. And the Bible says, that's why we want to challenge you throughout the rest of this week, is that instead of sitting and looking back at everybody else or the bridegroom is taking too long, no. These wise virgins said, we're going to prepare. We're going to continue to work on our own selves, work on our own hearts. Is there what's going on in my heart? What's causing me to lose trust in people? What's causing me to always feel fearful whenever I get close to people, right? You got to know what's going on in your heart, because there's not many prophets out there that's going to be able to look at you and figure out what's going on for you. You got to know what's going on for yourself, what's going on in your own heart. Because the truth is, you probably came into contact with a few guys that could be the one, but you just didn't even see it. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And they will see what God sends their way, because their hearts are ready. Their hearts are pure, right?
And you can't enter into anything that you're not ready for. You can try, but I don't know.
Because even if you enter in it, you're not ready to stay there. You know what I'm saying?
You're not.
It's like asking for $1 million, and somebody asked you, this is one of the questions that I got hit with. If I gave you $1 million right now, what would you do with it? Before, I didn't have an answer for that. And that question showed me I wasn't ready for $1 million. I should be prepared before it comes, so when it comes, I know what to do with it. Right? Same thing with love. Same thing with a relationship. We have to prepare. And you know, this idea that you're just going to fall in love. We got all these R&B artists who are singing about love, and look at their marriages and their relationships. They always bothered me. Like, Babyface writes the most amazing songs. Hey, how many marriages he had, right? How is that possible? You would think you know everything about love. You should be the master at it. But guess what? God is the master of love.
Yes.
Don't be listening to Nicki Minaj and Beyonce and all these people and think you know what love is. Read the Bible. Know what the Bible says about love, because that is the standard that we're going to live up to, all right? So let's wrap this up. Let's keep reading. Where is it? Verse 6? Oh, wait, so we left up at 5 and 6. We end around there. So but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet your man. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest this should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And they went out to buy. The bridegroom came, and the doors were shut. and they could not enter in. So what's the point? Preparation.
Yep.
The opportunities will come. The opportunities will come. The opportunities are coming your way.
But
are you ready for it, right? Now, some of you might be in this room right saying, honestly, I don't want to be married. That's where you are in your state of life. That's where you are. If you don't want to be married, everybody doesn't want to be married. Not everybody will be married. But, you know, you don't have to get married if you don't want to. However, if you are at the place where you're saying, I want to enter into this. And again, it goes back to that. For us, I think that as a people, this is an extremely important mindset shift that we need to have. That if it was more likely for a young child to grow up with their parents in slavery days than it is for now, that's something that we should take serious. That we need to be a generation that's going to revive the sanctity of marriage in our communities.
Yes.
If it's for one thing, beyond you, beyond yourself, this is something that we need to set a new standard, right, for a generation. How many of you grew up with your parents in a home where you had a marriage to observe? How many of you? It's pretty good. We have about half. That's 50%. They said 42%. So we're doing a little better here. Right? But this is a state of emergency. Then to top it off, everybody want to be gay now. Then you got rap, you got transgenders, people don't know who they are. Then you got an incarceration rate that's flying high, men in jail being locked up,
black men.
And then you got women today, according to the statistics, who don't want to be married because they're, I don't need a man until they get around 50.
Not even.
Right? This is what's happening in our community. This is what's happening in our world. And so I really believe, church, the one thing that I want us to do by setting this thing up to prepare is by first, let's come back to a place where we're going to honor and esteem marriage again in our sight, in our community, and knowing how God sees it, that this is the institution that is honorable. It's an honorable institution. We need marriages in our community. There's no way that a community will flourish, a city will thrive with broken homes. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. Do you guys agree with that? Yeah?
So the key is preparation. The five whys prepared. So if this is something that you truly desire in your heart, what are you doing to prepare yourself for it?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And it's more than just the outer, it's more than just naturally, but the best preparation comes when you prepare yourself spiritually. All of the other things will fall into place, but when you truly give your heart over to the Lord and you really ask Him to just take this part of my life, I'm not going to make another decision without you. I need you, Lord, to take control.
That's right.
And when you really intentionally begin to set your mind and your heart on the things of God and begin to prepare yourselves,
yeah,
it's endless what He can do.
Just real fast, Ryan, just turn to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to wrap up right here. We didn't plan to go here, but I just want to just read this verse and we'll wrap up. Again, you guys have to come back each week because we're building each week on this, all right? 12. It might be 3. Hebrews 3. Sorry, Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3.
Verse 12.
Verse 12. I don't have my Bibles up here. All right, New King James. Do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion and the day of trial in the wilderness. Okay, so you see how it goes back to the heart, right? Don't harden your heart towards this. Do not harden your heart as in rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Verse 9. Where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Talking about the Israelites who were in the wilderness for 40 years. Verse 10. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray where? In their heart, and they have not known my ways. The Bible says in Proverbs that a man perverts his ways, The foolishness of a man perverts his ways and blames the Lord. We do things our way, it doesn't work out our way, and then we blame God. Love never fails. A marriage might fail, a relationship might fail, but love never fails. Which means that if it failed, it wasn't based on love. It's based on feelings, emotions, whatever else it might have been. But it wasn't on love, because love never fails. Okay? So the Bible says, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. If we know God's ways, we won't fail. All right? Verse 11. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter in my rest. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Some people just can't get married or won't get married because they just don't believe that they can be married. Some people have given up on this thing. So if you have a heart of unbelief, the Bible says you will depart from the living God and actually cause your heart evil. Okay? Marriage is good because God designed it, God ordained it, God instituted it. And if we do things His way, the blessing will come. And the Bible will show us that the living God, God Himself, will bless us. He will give us the grace. He will supply the need, when we need it, if we have a heart to believe that this is what we're doing for God, not just for ourselves. Right? So it goes down to making sure that we check the purity of our hearts. All right, verse 13. All right, so we're going to, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened, stubborn, rebellious through the deceitfulness of sin. All right, and sin is just doing things our way. So you'd be like, I don't need to get married, but we can live together. What's the big deal? Why do I need a ring? Why do I need to actually go to a wedding, right? We hear that today as well. We can just live together. But that's not God's will. That's not God's way. He established it a certain way for a reason, and because it works. And so, while it's called today, the Bible says, let's encourage one another. And that's what we're here to do. We want to exhort one another to pursue having a healthy love life, a healthy marriage, and figuring out. Some of us, we just don't know what the Bible says about what God has to say about love. Right? So we want to bring light to this stuff. And then if we've been doing it, we find out, hey, we've been doing it the wrong way, let's work together to do it that way, the right way. Amen? We know the deal. People can go, we will go out and do whatever they want to do. That's between you and God. But we have come to realize that if you want God's blessings, if you want to obtain the optimum or the peak of success that you can have in any field, you gotta understand what God's principles are, God's ways are, and seek to live that way. Right? The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of what? Money? Lack of good looks? A lack of what? A boo? A lack of knowledge. What you don't know will hurt you. It will hurt your marriage, it will hurt your love life. So we want to be people of principle, people of purpose. All right? So let's all stand. We're going to release a blessing over us, over our community. Many of you are in this place, and some of you guys are married, and some of you guys are tippy-toeing around there, figuring some things out. Some of you guys feel discouraged and feel defeated, like, I don't know why they're talking about this because I'm not looking forward to this. Wherever you are in your life, I want you to consider your next steps. All right? Preparation is the key. Preparation is the key. You know what I love about preparation? When you are prepared, anything can come your way and it won't faze you. Emergencies don't faze you when you're prepared. They fell asleep. The bridegroom said, yo, I'm here. The wise ones were ready to go, even though they were asleep. So we need to become proactive, right? Everybody say proactive. Not reactive, thank you. Proactive means I'm going to take charge. I'm going to take control of this area of my life. And know that God is giving you the grace today to do that. You can do it, all right? So let's do something. I want everybody to put your hands on their shoulders. Somebody next to you. Matter of fact, hold hands with somebody. Let's go ahead. All right, so let's just pray. Holy Spirit, I ask for your blessing to come on every single person in this place, those that are watching or listening, wherever they are, Father. I just want to ask that those that are in this room that are under the sound of my voice will receive a new grace within themselves to believe again, to trust again, and to hope again in love. Lord God, marriage is your will. You designed it for our safety, our protection, for our productivity, for our success. Lord God, you've called us to be kings and queens, to rule on this earth, to be a power team, a power couple, that a man will not be able to fulfill his destiny without a woman, and a woman will not be able to fulfill her destiny without the man. You put male and female together. You bless them. You sanctify them and told them to be fruitful and to multiply. God, this has never changed, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will invade our hearts and lives with your goodness, with your mercy. I come against every plan of the enemy to continue to sow discord, to bring about wedges in our lives, to cause us to doubt and to live out of fear, and instead of trust and knowing that you are with us. I pray, God, that any person that is in this place who has experienced a broken home by in their lives growing up as children, that they will have a new sense of confidence and assurance that destiny won't be their destiny. That God, that they can be married, they can walk in love by your grace, by your word, by your power. And so God, everybody that's saying, Lord, just continue to open the eyes of our heart. Help us through this week to see the areas in our lives that we need to change, to grow up in, so that we can be prepared. Those that are married, let us learn how to love one another in a greater way. Wives to learn how to submit to their husbands, and husbands to love their wives as Christ. And I just pray, God, that as we go through this series, that you're going to take us from glory to glory. I thank you for accelerated relationships. Yes, Lord. I thank you, God, that before this month is out, some of you are going to find people that you're going to say, hey, I thought you were just my friend, but I realize, no, it's something greater than that. I see God is doing a quick work in this year. So get ready for that. According to your preparation. So Lord, I thank you. Let your will be done. Thank you for miracle marriages, restorations of homes in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we are going to have happy homes, happy marriages. We're going to have happy love lives, God. It's going to be your way, and you're going to bless it. And God, you're going to bless it so good that when people outside in the streets, in the world, in our jobs see us, they're going to want what we have, Father. That's what you want, for us to be the head and not the tail. So God, let us show the world what love looks like, what marriage looks like, according to your will. And we give you praise, we give you glory, and we are stepping into this week, God, fully charged, fully confident, knowing, God, that you got our back. And we're going to trust you every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's bless the Lord. Come on, let's clap our hands. All right, so I want you guys to just do something. Just bless three people and tell them, you are rich. You are rich. Come on. You are rich. All right. All right, hug about two people, hug about three people. All right, so we're pretty much done. We're getting ready to leave. We're getting ready to be dismissed. Next week, real fast, would you guys invite somebody out for our Valentine's Day special, all right? Our Valentine's Day special service. We're going to hook it up in here. It's going to be interactive. We're going to have a lot of fun, all right? So come back next week, Sunday, for part two of our series, all right?
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.